Shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. It's interesting that we see it here twice. A lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to come before you, and we want to thank you for this portion of scripture that we see some emotion, Father, that you exhibit, things that you hate, and Father, in return, you want us to hate these things in our lives. And so, Father, tonight, help us to understand the seriousness of a lying tongue, and help us, Father, understand the destruction of it and what it can cause, and help us to have a holy hatred for it. In Jesus' name, amen. A store manager heard one of his workers tell a customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like as if we're going to get any soon." The store manager ran and grabbed the worker, pulled him aside, and said, "Listen, we do have it. We've ordered some in." And he told the customer that it's coming soon. And the worker was a bit flustered at the fact, and he didn't know and understand what was going on, until later on the manager pulled him aside even further away from the customer, and he said, "Listen, never, never, never tell a customer that we don't have any stock. If they ask you, tell it it's on its way. We've ordered it and it's coming in." And he said, "By the way, what did I ask for?" And the worker just looked at the manager and said, "We were just talking about the rain." Lying is an everyday life for some people. That's the way they get by. It's the way they live. As a matter of fact, the Bible mentions that we are born in it. Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Most of the people in this world cannot function without telling lies, and that's a sad thing. And we know and we understand that the unbeliever needs to be saved, needs to be regenerated. Lying tends to be on the lower spectrum of the list of sins that are evil. People usually justify lying, and they call it innocent lies, white lies. Someone once said, "Those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind, because they get used to it." Now, in the way of introduction, what is lying? Well, in simple terms, it's not telling the truth, but it has more to it. Number one, it's to bear false witness. It's to simply be a false witness that does not tell the truth regarding a testimony or what they have observed or regarding the facts. Proverbs 14:5 says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." So we see lying is someone that bears false witness, holds a false testimony. Number two, lying is to exaggerate or stretch or bend the truth, to blow up the truth out of proportion. Someone said, "Stretching the truth won't make it last any longer," and it's true. Number three, it's to take away from the truth, to tell half the truth, to hide the truth, to conceal the truth. In a court of law, you may get, or they, at least they had it once upon a time, I don't know if they still have it, but they would promise them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God. And remember the time Abraham told a half-truth? He lied about his wife being his sister. And by the way, when you tell half-truths, there's a lot of trouble that can take place in people's lives. I remember the time when I was in the transition of my salvation. Well, I got saved. I trusted the Lord as my Savior, but not long after, I continued to work, and part of my business was a sales executive. I did not tell lies. I did not, even as a sinful person, I did not go out of the way to lie to the customer. However, I would conceal some things that he should know. And that's like lying. There was one time where I continued to conceal something that he should have known. Fine print, you know, the fine print. Very hard to, comb through the fine print and let them know what they need to know and so forth. But you know what they need to know in respect of their business. Anyway, the Holy Spirit of God dealt with me on my bed one night. The very first time I concealed the truth from a customer, the Holy Spirit on my bed, I'll never forget it. I wasn't able to sleep that night. I was tossing and turning and I was just, you know, the guy had already signed the contract. And so I purposed in my heart that night that I was going to tell the customer about the fine print the first thing in the morning, before any other meeting that I had. And that night after I purposed in my heart and I told God that, I had the sweetest sleep. Next morning came along, I went to the customer, told him the fine print, and he said to me, he said, oh, that's okay, it's all right, I still want to go ahead with it. And so, but to me, that concealing of a truth, the Holy Spirit made it a big deal in my life as a safe person. So it's concealing truth, it's hiding the truth, and not telling the whole truth. Number four, lying is to add to the truth. We see in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You know, the Old Testament prophets, or some of them at least, the false prophets, used to add to the word of God. Some of them used to say, God said, when God didn't say. Many of the prophets, Jeremiah wept about and tried to reproof, and the wicked seers, the shepherds that would mislead God's people, would simply say, God said, when God didn't say. And how much of that is going around today? From pulpits today, tele-evangelists today, different commentaries today of different Bibles, and misleading people saying God said when God didn't say. Now, Christian, let me just say this to you tonight. We can fall into that same trap where we add to God's truth. We may say something like, I believe God wants me to do this, but we don't have complete peace about it. But we feel good that God is backing up our decision. Can I say this to you? Be very careful when you say it is the will of God for you to do this or that. Be very careful. If you're not 100% sure that this is the will of God, then don't say, I believe God wants me to do this. Because that's just adding to some truth. Because at the end of the day, God wants us to seek him for his will. But if we're not 100% that it is his will, but we want to feel some sort of peace that we're doing the right thing, and we just throw that at the back of any statement of decisions that we want to do just to feel good, then that could be adding to the truth. Many a times God's taught me to say, if you're not 100% about a certain thing, Charlie, say you want to do it and you're still seeking God. That's safer. That's not adding to the truth. And so we need to be careful not to add to the truth and say God said when God didn't say. Number five, lying is to go back on your word. It's to break a promise. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? When they sold, they were holding back on the price of the land. The Bible says they lied to the Holy Spirit. And we see that it's just really holding back or breaking your promise. Now, let's look at this and think about it for a moment tonight. Why does God hate lying? Help me out tonight. Why does he hate it? Why does God abhor it, hate it? He calls it an abomination. Yes. Absolutely. It's against his character. It's the opposite of who he is. He's a God of light. He's a God of truth. What else? Pretty much sums it up that in one word, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's pure evil. And let me just say this, because the devil uses it to turn people away from God's word and God himself. Hey, listen. The devil, the Bible says, and Jesus gives him that name, he is the father of lies. Go with me to John chapter 8. I want you to see it tonight. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, notice verse 44. He's speaking now to the religious rulers and those that are religious, And those that don't want to believe the truth about him being the Messiah, the Holy One of God, he actually said to them, if you don't believe my words, believe the works I do, at least. If you don't believe that I'm sent from God. But anyway, he goes on to say, and mention in verse 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from when? From the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, he's the king of kings of lying. I mean, he is the ringleader of lying. He is the essence. He's the opposite of God, the opposite of truth, full of darkness. And the reason why God hates it, because it's the movement of Lucifer, the fallen angel. And I believe right from the beginning, as we read here, he's a murderer right from the beginning, because lying eventually leads to the death of a person. Eventually leads to the next characteristic that God hates, hands that shed innocent blood. When someone's on trial and is innocent and someone lies against that person, I can crucify him. But there are four lies right from the beginning that I really believe that ruined the world. Turn there, if you will, Genesis chapter 3, have a look. These four lies strongly attack God's character. These four lies Eve believed. And these four lies, listen carefully tonight, he wants you to believe. The devil really is not up to new lies. He's up to the same old lies, but just in a different form or a different way. But we're going to see, what are these four lies that destroyed or ruined humanity? Number one, we'll see it in verse 1. Notice now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now let's say this, let's look at this for a moment. Did Eve know the truth? Absolutely. She actually told the devil everything that God had told Adam, and I believe Adam was a good leader thus far, telling Eve what God said. Hey, Eve, you know what? We can eat of every single this tree of the garden. This one here, God said, don't touch it, because if we touch this one, we're all dead. We're both dead. There's only two of us, but we're dead. We're finished. And so what was the first lie? What was the first lie that he mentions to, you know, God doesn't love you? That's the same old lies that we hear today. Eve, God is holding back from you. God does not love you. And that's what we hear. How God doesn't love humanity. God doesn't love people. If God loved people, why does he allow certain things to happen to them? Why did he allow the devil to deceive Eve? Why this and why that? Now, see, God doesn't love us. If God loved you, Eve, he would give you of that forbidden fruit. He's holding back from you. That's the first lie, and it's no different today, where people just misunderstand God's character and who he is. Can I just say this statement, and I said it before, God's love is not based on what he can give us or allow us to do. God's love is based on who he is, and the fact is this, that we don't deserve any of the trees that God gives us, let alone the forbidden one. But can I just say this, on the contrary, God did love her. I mean, notice the total opposite of what the devil said. Notice, go back a chapter. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So what's God saying here? He's not holding back. He's giving you every fruit of the garden, and God didn't have to do it. And praise God that He gave us a variety of it. And just last week, we did some sort of weird diet. I mean, it was just a weird diet. I'll tell you, at one particular, the first day, we could eat only fruit. The second day, we can only eat vegetables. The third day, we can eat fruit and vegetables. The fourth day, we can eat 8 bananas and some soup. Now, when I went, at least, maybe Buddy felt the same. Buddy just did it to encourage me along. I mean, he really doesn't need to go on the diet, but he did it because he wanted to be a good friend and encourage me along. But I was just thinking, eating fruit, thinking, man, I feel like quail. I really felt like meat. And then I think to myself, you see, these people that lusted after the melons and garlics and so forth, when they were eating meat and quail all that time, they were lusting after what I was eating the whole day. And I began to think, thank God for variety. But God didn't have to give us variety. He didn't have to give us the other. He could have given us one tree that had one fruit and that was it. And that would have been fine. But the devil says, you know, God is holding back from you. God is not holding back from us. God has blessed us right from the beginning to give us every kind of fruit and give us the different things that He has blessed us with, the garden to dress it, responsibility, and the very tree that would kill us. God says, don't touch that one. He warned us against evil. What a God. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a loving God. I'd say amen. 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 That's a loving God. That's not a God that is restricting us. That's a God that is warning us and loving us and providing for us. But that's the devil's lie. God's holding back. God doesn't love you. Number two, we see another lie here. Have a look. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 1 again. He says, yea, hath God said at the end of that verse, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There it is there. God is a liar. God doesn't love. And God is a liar. Have God really said? Come on, God didn't really say that. You know what He's trying to do? Not only cast down on God's will, but He's making God to be a liar. But she knew that it was the truth. But the very deceiver, the devil, is the one that casts doubt on the people of God, even the whole world, by saying God is a liar and therefore He won't keep His promise. Or he twists the truth. Like I said to you before, the devil's not really up to new tricks. He just uses the old ones in a different way. And I can go on about this and how he perverts the word and he really just does certain things, but I won't go on. My point here today is the fourth lies that Satan uses to destroy the world and people. We see the next third lie. Notice what he says. And ye shall not surely die. You know what he's saying here? God is not only loving, God is he's a liar, but God is lenient. You're not going to die. And listen, you're not going to die. You're not going to be cursed. You're not going to be judged. And how many preachers today are preaching no literal hell? I believe Billy Graham has gone back and said, hell is not a literal place. Excuse me. If hell is not a literal place, then forget about Luke chapter 16. Forget part of Revelation. I mean, these things are in the Bible for a purpose to show us that sin has a consequence. The devil has a domain where abode where he needs that he's going to dwell in. And listen, anyone that wants to follow the father of lies is simply paving their own way to hell. There is a hell. The devil's heading there. And he wants to take you with him and he makes you think that there's no consequences for sin. That you can get away with it. Come on, honestly. Don't you hear it today in the world where people say, oh God, no, he's a loving God. He's not going to send us to hell. And that's absolutely true. But you know why people go to hell? Is because they believe the lies of the devil, they don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they condemn themselves. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. Yeah, God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves to hell by not believing in Jesus Christ. Remember 2 Peter 3:9? For God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's the heart of God there. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The devil says, if you don't come to repentance, it doesn't matter. You're not going to die. Enjoy your life while you can. No. See, the devil says God is not loving. The devil says God is a liar. The devil says God is lenient. And lastly, the four lies that rule in the world, the devil says, you know what? God is selfish. Because God knows from the day that you eat from this tree, you shall be as gods. God's selfish. He wants to be the God of the whole world, the angels. He doesn't want you to be God. And that was the whole problem with the devil. He wanted to be God. And he's trying to turn people away from God being God and trying to get them to rebel against God and them live outside of God themselves. What a liar. God's not the liar. He's the liar. And by the way, can I just say, God is God. God is God and he will always be God. God is God and he sits in the heavens. He's the Alpha, the Omega, and all in between. He's everything. He's an eternal God and he is God. And one day every knee shall bow to him. And that's why it's good for us, for every single one of us in this room, to bow the knee now and make him our God. Get off the throne and say, God, I don't want to be God. I've been deceived to live independently without you. I don't want to. I want to get off the throne and I want you to be God. I want you to be the God of my life, the God that gave me life. I believe that's a good decision today. And I believe that will stunt the lies of the devil in your life. God is loving. God is truthful. God is a God of justice. And God is God. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Now I want you to see here, God hates lying and he will judge it. He will judge liars. And liars, number one, will not prosper. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. Proverbs 19, verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall what? Perish. King Saul perished. He died because he lived his life lying to God, lying to his son Jonathan, lying to the prophet Samuel. He was practically a liar. And he perished. What happened to, again, Ananias and Sapphira? They died. They perished. Now, I don't know if, you know, we begin to think to ourselves, oh no, we're holding back from God, are we going to perish? I believe the Bible says that the whole believers in that particular time feared God. God just used them as an example to show the church in that day and in our day that God hates lying. He hates it. And it's serious. God has to judge it. It can be judged on earth. It will be judged again in all eternity. Psalm 101 and verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Liars are found in hell. Turn to Revelation 21:8. Have a look there. Revelation 21:8. Liars will not prosper on earth. And liars are found in hell. I don't know about you, but that's pretty serious, don't you think? 21:8. Notice what the Bible says. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all what? Liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I don't know about you, but what do you do with this verse regarding a literal hell? How do you tippy-toe around this? What story are you going to make up for this? What interpretation will you give this? You just read it as it is. It's literal. Amen. And God says, all liars will have their part. Amongst the sorcerers, amongst the murderers, we have lying. That is a sin that God hates and it's abomination to him. Liars are found in hell. But notice, if you will, verse 27. It's talking about, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that is talking about heaven or into his presence in heaven. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or what is that? Maketh a lie. By that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. Now what happens? And that's pretty scary, isn't it? Have a look at verse 24. Because you're probably sitting here and saying, oh my, man, I've lied before. Am I not going to enter into heaven? Have a look at verse 24. And the nations of them which are what? Shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now listen, you can be a saved liar that doesn't want to lie. Amen? You can be someone that comes to the Lord and says, Lord, listen, I know that liars are found in hell, but surely, Lord, I'm a liar, I'm a sinner. The first thing that you tell someone, you tell them, have you ever lied before? And without a doubt, they'll say, who hasn't? Everyone lies. And it's true. We're born into it. I mean, I don't have to teach my kids to lie. They don't have to go to university. Man, they're experts, you know. They're number one experts, you know. It's amazing because it's a natural reaction. And so over here we find that liars will be in hell, but we can see that people can be saved from their sin. Especially the sin of lying. All sin. We're sinners. God wants to save us. And if you're here today and you're not saved, God wants to save you. God wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sin is just one thing. We've got many other things in our lives. Lies is just one thing. But we've got many other sins in our lives that God wants to save us from. And when God saves you, he begins to help you sin less. Amen? Sinless. We're going to get that in a moment. Can a Christian lie? Absolutely. And we're going to get that in a moment. But we're seeing the severity here of liars end up in hell. Unsaved liars. Can I say that? Unsaved sinners. Unsaved liars will end up in hell. Notice verse 15 in Revelation chapter 22. Have a look. This is a big one. Have a look at this. And it's not a coincidence here that God puts it right at the end of the book, right at the end of the Bible for warning. And right after this, by the way, right after this, you see an invitation that whosoever thirsts, come, let him come and drink. God wants to save sinners. Amen. God doesn't want sinners to continue following the pernicious ways of the devil. Amen? Revelation 22:15, and without are the dogs, those are without God's kingdom. And the sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth, look it, and maketh a what? Wow. Now, we understand it's a sad thing when unbelievers live their lives in lies, but you know what's the saddest or a sadder thing? When Christians that are saved tell lies. That's sad. You can say tonight, can you say, can a Christian lie? Of course he can. There's two places, I believe, as far as my knowledge serves me correct. Two places in the New Testament, instruction for churches, that teach us that we should not lie after we've come to Christ. Because when a person gets saved, they still have the sinful nature and they still have the tendency to tell lies. But the Holy Spirit of God will help them and say, pull back. Don't lie. When you do, confess and tell the truth. And that's a humbling factor, isn't it? But have a look at these two instructions from Scripture. Ephesians 4:25. Have a look at Ephesians 4:25. Notice what the instruction he's actually given to Christians here. And we'll see it. He says, wherefore, putting away, what's that word? Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. He's talking to the church. He says, don't lie to your brethren in the church. Put it away. Don't do it. God hates it. Now, it's an abomination. It's wicked. And that, and we should say, you know what? The devil is the instigator here. I don't want to be devil-like. I don't want to be devil-like. And by the way, that's what we saw this morning, didn't we? That if we want to love our neighbor, we don't lie to them. We tell the truth. And that's fulfilling the law of love. Have a look at Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9. Notice what the Bible says here in Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Amen. Amen. So now this is it. You're a new creature in Christ, and you're putting off the old man. The things that you used to do in the flesh, don't do. Put it off. Put it off. And put on the new man, which is renewed in the spirit of our minds. Renewing our minds. Christians tell the truth. They do not lie. Christ followers tell the truth. So what happens as Christians if we do lie? What do we lose? You know what we lose? We lose some beautiful things. Except, listen carefully, accept our salvation. Praise God for that. I mean, that's a comfort, isn't it? Come on. I said, that's a comfort. That we know that we're once saved, always saved. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that there's a false devil's doctrine out there that believes, that teach that you can lose your salvation. After church today, we had a man that walked in. And I really believe that he was spying on our liberty. And we had a discussion regarding eternal security. And he was telling me and trying to convince me that we can lose our salvation. You know, that doctrine only puts you back in fear again and gets you to rely on the arm of the flesh, rather yielding to the Spirit that works in us to be truthful. Because the truth of the matter is, if we left to ourselves and we're walking in the flesh, we are going to lie. But the remedy is yielding to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. So what do we lose? We lose out in walking in the Spirit when we lie. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, look at, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. The Bible doesn't say you can lose the Spirit. The Bible says you can grieve the Spirit. You can make Him sad. You know, when you lie, God, as a believer, when you lie, God is sad. And so when we miss out on walking in the Spirit because we're grieving Him, guess what we miss out as well? Because of the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is joy. We'll be miserable Christians. Another one is peace. Another one is the direction of the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to make better decisions. We really miss out on a lot of things when we're not walking in the Spirit of God. And so the best thing to do is, if you fall into lying, tell the truth. Confess it and forsake it. Amen? What's another thing that you lose? We lose the blessings of the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We're almost finished tonight. Have a look at Psalm 40. Notice what the Bible says in there in verse 4. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You know what we lose? We lose the blessings of the Lord. When we respect, when we walk in lies, when we don't fear the Lord or trust the Lord, we really miss out on the blessings of the Lord. What's another thing that we lose? And I believe this is a big one. And I believe it's not worth it. We lose out on close, intimate fellowship with God. We really do. We miss out on that wonderful presence that God showers upon us when we read our Bible. God begins to speak to us. Have you ever wondered why at times perhaps you get dry times when you're reading the Word? Maybe there's sin in your life that's unconfessed. Maybe there's some sin in your life that needs to be repented from. Pride is one of them. Lying is another. Things that God hates. I remember one lecturer in Bible college, he used to pray, never forget this prayer. I started praying it every now and then when I heard it. He used to pray when he closed chapel. He used to say, "Lord, is there anything between us? Wow. Show me. Is there anything between us?" Man, I just got convicted from that prayer. You know, how sensitive this man was. "Lord, is there something that displeases you?" Isn't that how David prayed in Psalm 139? Oh Lord, search my heart. Lord, try my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, why? Because we miss out that sweet, intimate relationship with God when we're living in sin and we don't confess it. Now, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The Bible says, can you listen to this one? The Bible says this in Proverbs 19:22, a poor man is better than a liar. I don't want to live my life cheating and lying and missing out on the blessing. I'd rather be poor and enjoy the blessings of a rich God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Then cheat my way and cheat on my taxes and cheat on this and cheat on that. And by the way, there's repercussions when we do that. Why should the Christian tell the truth in closing? Well, number one, because we want to please God. Have a look at Proverbs 12:22. Proverbs 12:22. We want to please the Lord. Lying lips are a what? Abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his what? Delight. I just want to please God. No matter what it costs me. I don't care if I don't get my way. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care if I'm going to miss out. I want to please the Lord. Because listen. You can get whatever you want by lying. Or you can lie your way through life, but you're going to miss out on pleasing God. They usually say these days that you won't get through life until you tell a few lies. What a load of rubbish. You've got to lie a bit, you know, to get up there and get in there and get part of it. People in the workplace, universities, will force or try to pressure you to lie. And we need to stand as lights, saying, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand with integrity. I want to please the Lord." We can ruin our testimonies. The reason why we need to tell the truth, because we want to keep a good testimony before the Lord. Notice Proverbs 29:12. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler, or we can say a leader, hearkeneth to lies, all his servants are what? Wicked. A corrupt leader will draw attention to corrupt people. The influence. If I lie, I'm going to be influencing a people to do the same. Or simply, I'm going to put them in a position of dishonesty. Sometimes that's what happens. You can be put in a position, maybe a company lies and you work for that company. It's got a bad reputation. And because you work for that company, you could be a wicked person because you're labeled under that banner. But the same thing can happen in our house, isn't it? If we lie, if we cheat on our tax, we tell our kids how to cheat on their tax and so forth, guess what's going to happen? They're going to turn out wicked. Someone said this, a lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you're forced to tell others to back it up. It just never ends. And I don't want to be influencing the people to follow after me in a way where I'm working deceit and I'm deceiving to get gain or whatever. The Bible says it's better to be poor than a liar. In conclusion, as the people of God, we do need to hate what God hates vehemently, like passionately. We need to abhor it. We need to come to the point of our lives that if we do ever fall in sin, we need to be broken by it. And say, oh God, and we need to cry and be broken because of that sin. Don't treat, oh, it's just a white lie here. Remember, you'll be colorblind. You'll be used to it. We want sin, quote unquote, little innocent lies to affect us when we make them. Why? Because we want to hate evil. We want to hate unrighteousness. We want to hate what God hates. We must be like the psalmist and say this in Psalm 119, 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Amen. That's a memory verse that we can keep. Lord, I hate lying. I detest it. I abhor it. But I love your word. I love your law. You're righteous, you're holy, and I love every command of it. I love it, and I don't want to do the very things that you tell me that you hate. I want to hate what you hate. I want to stand right here with you, and I want to hate lying. Turn to Proverbs 13, and we're done. Proverbs 13, and we're finished. By the way, I'm very sensitive. I've been kind of convicted when I say, sometimes I don't mean it, but I say, turn to Proverbs 13 and we're done and we're finished. And all of a sudden another verse comes to mind and now I found a liar. And then we're going again. I thought Pastor said we were done. I don't mean to do that, but I've been very sensitive to it and say, Lord, I don't want to look like a liar and go against my word. And so maybe it's better if I just don't say one more verse and we're done. Because I'm just going to limit myself if God gives me another scripture. But we're done with one more verse. Proverbs 13:5. Have a look quickly. A righteous man hateth what? Let's say it again. Ready? Begin. A righteous man hateth. Amen. Let's pray.